Hey guys, welcome back to another episode. Today I'm on the floor with Monica Chang and John Che.
Hi.
Hey, how's it going?
So Monica was actually here last week. If you guys haven't listened to the episode, it was about like friendships, our time in quarantine, mm-hmm. mental health, honestly, just everything.
Yeah.
I was basically us catching up.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah. And then John is actually here today because he has a podcast of his own too. So this is kind of a special collab, I suppose. do you want to introduce what your podcast is?
Yeah. So we're called Podcast and Training. It's me and two of my friends, Alex Lee and Daniel Koo. It's just basically us they're just getting drunk and talking. We have a guest on our show every week, which is just another one of our homies like Esther does. And it just came from the idea of, you know, we wanted to keep in touch with friends and give that vibe that you're in the room with us, and just like, you know, conversating, having a good time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we only have one episode out right now, but we have a second one coming out shortly, depending on when this episode airs. But it'll be coming out soon. So
exciting.
I know. The first episode was so funny.
Thank you.
I'm a fan. Make sure you guys follow and stay up to date on their stuff. Do you guys have like Instagram for it?
No, we're so bad.
Oh, at John Che. I don't follow John Che.
Yeah, all three of us are so bad with social media and stuff like that. Like, it's terrible.
It's okay. But John, tell them about all the stuff that you had to cut out in the first podcast that
recorded. So we were like total amateurs, had no idea what we're doing. I burped into the mic like 9 times and Danny had to edit it all out in post. We're like cheersing, so you hear like the clinks of all the glasses, and like I had to take a bathroom break and like
I feel that. That's me too. I have like, people think that this is just one straight recording session, but it's really not. Like I have to edit so much, so I feel your friend.
Yeah, we're not perfect.
Yeah, I wish.
I'm close, but
wish I was close. So how about we kind of talk about like how we all know each other? Do you guys want to start? Because you guys have been friends for a long time.
Yeah. Right? So I met John in college. So I guess that was like what?
That's 10 years ago.
Really?
2010.
Oh, you're right. Because we're 28.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Dude, I was reading your description of your podcast. Uh-huh. Like, what it's like to be in your 20s. I was like, fuck, I'm not even, am I allowed to cuss? Oh, yeah. I was like, fuck, like, I'm not even in my 20s. Like, I am, but.
We're
not
in our late 20s. We're nearing our 30s. But basically, I met John in college. He was like one of my first college friends.
Dude, you legit are like one of the first 5 people I met.
I think you were like the second person I met. But John says this didn't happen, but I just have this memory really clearly in my head. I remember I had just moved into the dorms at UCSD. Mm-hmm. And then I see this guy sitting all loner-like and so sad on the steps, like wearing some sort of like red Letterman jacket or something.
I'm never on the red.
But anyway, he looked really sad. And then I was just like, oh, that guy looks really sad. And then I just like moved on with my day. And then later that day, one of my friends from high school was like, oh, hey, do you want to meet my new friend, like my new sweet mate? And then it ended up being John. And then do you want to tell her the first thing I said to you?
It was orientation, and we sit down for lunch, and then he's like, oh yeah, like save a seat for my friend Monica. I was like, oh, for sure. And like we're sitting, and then she comes in hot. Like she sits down like real quick. She's like, hey, like you want to go to like this dance class? Like so-and-so's mom could take blah, blah, blah. And then he was like, oh yeah, hey, like these are my two friends. Like his name was Dustin, like Dustin and John. And Monty was like, the first thing she said to me was, oh my god, you look like my ex, but less evolved.
Less evolved.
like I'm like a Pikachu and he a Raichu or something. Like straight up, that was the first thing she ever said to me.
Less evolved, dude.
Yeah.
Why did you say that? I don't know. I think I was just trying to say he looked like my ex boyfriend, but not really. But I still clearly remember saying that to you too, and I just, the words came out of my mouth.
That's a terrible first impression.
Hey, but we're still friends now, so I did something right. Yeah.
Do you guys have like a first impression memory?
Well, ours was a little different.
Yeah, because we kind of talked about this in the last episode, but I met Esther on her FabFitFun interview.
Oh, you interviewed her? Yeah,
I interviewed her because she came in for an internship position, and I just remember this, like, super stylish, like, Korean girl wearing, like, a long, like, kind of, like, trench coat, like, semi-trench coat. Yeah.
Man, that's some really good memories. Yeah.
Because I remember, too, I was like, oh, she smells good. Wait, what? Because Esther, you always smell good.
Really? Mm-hmm. That's good to know. I don't shower every day.
Yeah, in quarantine, I like, yeah, it's like once every 3 days if I'm lucky.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
How did you guys meet?
Through you.
I mean, through you, through me? But yeah. I don't.
It was honestly probably at like venue.
Yeah.
When we were drunk.
Yeah.
Right?
I honestly think this might be the first time I'm actually having a conversation. Yeah,
I was thinking that too. Like, our first like sober conversation is going to be on air. So
it's this podcast. Yeah. Which would actually, I think the world is even smaller because John's girlfriend, Stacy, is from Guam.
Yeah.
Who knows Sharon,
mm-hmm, who's like one of my closest friends, mm-hmm, too.
And then didn't some of your friends go to UCSD too?
Yes, like Annie. Right,
oh yeah. Right.
Yeah, Annie went to UCSD.
I think the Korean community is very small.
It's very small here, like Southern California.
Even like our friends who moved to New York and started dating East Coast Korean girls, or it's like somehow like looped back to us. And
really?
Like, yeah.
Like, oh, wow.
Mike,
oh,
yeah, and Claudia and all that. Like, yeah, it's somehow just like, yeah, if you're Korean, like, you can't help it.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Which is cool, too. Like, you know, like, when our parents and whatever came over, like, they came to these hotspots and, like, created those communities.
Yeah.
Because they had to survive.
Yeah.
So, we were talking about this
I know.
A couple of weeks ago when I was, like, fucked up. But, yeah.
Yeah, we were at our friend's house last week, and John was just going into a very passionate kind of like talk about Korean pride and, you know, with all the stuff going on in the world. I don't know. I was very enlightened by what you said. Yeah. But I learned a lot from that conversation.
Yeah,
what'd you guys talk about?
They were just talking about like how like we've been oppressed, like, right, as Koreans, and how it hasn't really been brought to light in mainstream media. And to be honest, it's true, because I'm like kind of ashamed to say this, but I feel like I don't really know much about Korean history or anything like that, besides like from when I read like Pachinko. And then so hearing like John, Arthur, and Joe talk about it, I was really like, whoa, like, I need to look into this more, just because, like, yeah.
Those are
like
your roots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think, like, that's a lot of us Korean-Americans, though, because growing up Korean-American, you're trying to
assimilate. Like,
yeah, you're just trying to take on the American culture as much as possible, because you don't want to, like, stand out. You don't want to get, you know,
for sure,
like, made fun of or anything like that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, definitely. Like, this all came, like, later in life, like, in the past, like, 3 years for me, maybe. Mm-hmm. And then I went to Korea last year for the first time in like 20 years, and so that like really opened my eyes to like a lot of, like, I went to the, like, I saw all the historical sites, like DMZ and like all the, like, the Dongdaemun, all those gates and stuff like that. So how do we end up here? I don't know. It's cool though, like, it really is cool, and like I'm now trending more to trying to learn like my Korean culture more so than like trying to be American.
Yeah. What are you doing, like watching more movies or books or
I mean Korean drama for sure. I know you guys talked about Startup. But yeah, like watching Korean movies, Korean drama. I'm trying to just get better at Korean and like more Korean food and stuff like that. Like, I made makgeolli. That's what I did during quarantine. I made makgeolli for the first time, and that's cool. Just like all that is yeah, because if we don't keep it alive, it's going to die with our generation pretty much. Yeah.
Would you say you're pretty close to your parents?
I'm very close to my parents,
okay. Do you think that has to do with it too? Or?
Well, so my parents are like very Korean. Like, they don't they don't know much English. And I was like always had a good relationship with them, but really got close to them, you know, as I got older.
Right.
Like, maybe in the past 5 years. But they never like really like forced it on me, but I mean, I speak to them in Korean at like 95% of the time. But yeah, it's helped because I can ask them questions and all that. But yeah, like the history side of it, it's been mostly just like talking to people or like reading up on it randomly and stuff like that. Yeah.
Oh, that's respectable though.
Would you say you know a lot? I feel like you're pretty good at Korean,
aren't you?
Yeah.
I think I had to be just because like my mom also is very Korean and she can't.
Yeah.
Like, I can't communicate with her if I don't know Korean, you know? So I always needed to brush up on it. But I don't know. It's kind of sad because I feel like I'm slowly losing it too.
Really? Oh, yeah. Because like you don't really see your mom as often because you used to live with her when you were here.
Yeah, exactly. So I would talk to her every day, but now it's like once a week.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. It's tough, I think, as you get older.
For sure.
Also, it's like harder to like keep the language.
Yeah.
If you're not constantly using it.
But like, would you give your kids, or if you have kids, you know, would you give them Korean names?
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Would that be their legal middle name?
My legal name is my Korean name.
Oh, yeah. And Esther's the like and nickname.
Esther's like not even on any of my documents.
Oh, I see. Yeah. I see. Yeah. So would you, Bonnie? Would you?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Really? I don't know what I would name them.
Do you think about that? Would you?
No, I for sure. So like my dad's side, right? They're like really into the whole like family tree stuff. Mm-hmm. So when we went to Korea, I went to like a Che family, like our clan of Che family. Uh-huh. There were like 300 Che's in a room.
Oh,
I was
really?
Like, holy shit. Like, I've never, like, there aren't that many Che's, right?
Yeah.
Right.
And so and you just, were all related.
Yeah. And I was like, dude, this is crazy. And so, like, even the naming, like, convention, you know how it's, like, every generation is, like, the same thing? So my dad's side follows that. And so, like, when I went to the reunion, there was, like, someone who's technically my generation, but he was, like, 60. And he had the same, like, so I'm Eungi, and he was, like, something key. I was like, holy shit, we're in the same generation? Like,
yeah.
He's older than my dad, but you know. So like I'll probably I definitely will give my kids a Korean legal middle name,
Oh, I kind of like that though, like having that same character at the end.
Yeah.
I want to do that for my kids too.
Yeah.
Or like in the beginning.
Yeah.
I always thought that was cute.
Wait, going back to what you said about like growing up like and how we wanted to assimilate to American culture. I feel like I tried to be so white, like so I wanted to be white so badly growing up, and I don't know, was it like that for you guys too?
Well, where did you
grow up?
I grew up in Claremont, so it's like a very white neighborhood, and I think back on it and I wish like if I could talk to my younger self to just like be proud of who you are, because like now I feel like I've really come to love being Korean and like owning my Asian-ness.
Yeah, but I mean, like, it's hard when you're young, coming to, like, a new school, a new city.
Yeah.
Like, you just want to fit in. And
Nikki
like,
Hong.
I know that name very well. No, but that's really interesting you say that, because for me, when, like, I grew up in a predominantly white neighborhood, too.
You grew up in Oregon.
What?
Yeah.
I had no idea. Yeah. I thought you were like...
She's from Oregon.
Wow.
Like in the suburbs, a little outside of Portland. So it's very white. At the time, there wasn't a very big Asian community. Right now, there is. But I remember like I didn't have my first Asian friend until sixth grade.
How was growing up in the Valley for you?
Oh, you're from the Valley.
John reps the Valley really hard.
A1A, what's good? So yeah, I grew up in the Valley, born and raised. And we're pretty diverse. I've talked about this a lot recently too, just like with my friends, but being Korean is one thing, but it's our generation that is huge too. Like us being, you know, the kids of immigrants or like being 1.5.
Right. Yeah.
It's like no one knows our struggle except us.
Yeah. Oh, it's like an added layer of like connection.
Because it's like kind of translating for your parents when you're growing up. Because I feel like you kind of did that a lot with your mom, right?
Oh my god, yeah. I didn't even know what I was reading half the time.
Like legal documents.
Yeah. Oh, that's so true. And I feel like, do you have a sibling?
Yeah. Guess what I am. Guess what I am.
I think you're an older brother.
I am an older brother.
I think you're the firstborn.
Oh, I'm actually the middle child.
You're middle.
I am.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wait, do you know about Esther? You don't know, right?
No.
What do you think she is?
I think you're an only child.
An only child? I give up only child vibes.
I don't know. You have a younger sister.
No.
Yeah, I'm way off.
Younger brother.
Younger brother.
UCSD. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, if he's younger than you, like we wouldn't have conversations.
Yeah, for sure.
Maybe he knows Ashley.
Oh, yeah. My younger sister on CSSD.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, so you have a younger sister and then a
I think they graduated the same year.
2018.
No, my brother is 2020.
Oh.
But yeah, I have an older brother and a younger sister.
Yep. See, okay, so that's why it kind of makes sense, because I feel like as the older, I don't know if you did, but like I feel like usually the firstborn is the one who like has to deal with a lot of like what the parents need help with and stuff.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, you guys have to like kind of grow up fast.
Yeah.
Like faster than like my brother grew up faster than I had to. And then me, like it really is like that spectrum. Like my sister doesn't like, I mean, I'm not shitting on her. Like I say this all the time. My sister's the best out of the three of us, but she has to do the least for my parents. Like even to this day, like my brother does a lot. I like set up my parents like Chromecast and stuff. And my sister lives with them. But like she doesn't like, my mom calls me and is like, dude, get Ashley to do it. She's right. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely a blessing and a curse. Because like you said, you're proud of your culture, but it was hard growing up for sure.
It was. Yeah.
I'm sure in Oregon. That's crazy. I had no idea.
Yeah.
I think like definitely when you get to like that college and on era, it's a lot easier because my brother's 5 years older than me and my sister's 4 years younger. Mm-hmm. So we were never like in school together or anything like that. And then once we all like graduate college, it's like, oh, we're on the same like plane, on the same level. So it was like, it got a lot better then for sure.
Yeah. Took a little short break. We are back. Okay. Why don't we talk a little bit about like maybe guy girl friendships, but also friendships just in general? Cause we talked a little bit about college, but I know you guys have like a really solid and kind of big friend group. And I get a lot of questions from people too about that and like
meeting people after college.
Yeah, meeting people after college, just like as an adult, I think it just gets harder in general to make friends. Yeah. And so I think it's definitely a struggle, and especially during quarantine.
Yeah.
Like during COVID right now, like there's just no way to really meet people, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. Well, so we were friends since we were 18, but I feel like John is kind of like the core person that like the magnet that brought everyone together, right?
I mean, I thank you. But I think it was like a few of us, because like the way it worked out was like I have friends that I'm still friends with since elementary school, like Jacob and Josh, right? Like I've known those fools since like third grade, so that how are we, nine? So I've known for like 19, almost 20 years now. And then it's just like kind of built. Like, and then like junior high, I have friends I'm still close with. And then really it's like it like all branched out, and like they have people they're close with. And then we all kicked it. And our group is big now for sure, but it was bigger at one point.
Really?
Yeah. Like during college, I would say it was really big, because we would have like all these parties and stuff. People would come down to SD, go to PV and all that. But it's like a core group of people who, like, I don't want to say made the cut, but who like stuck around and who just like,
like, I think people who made the effort to keep in touch other, right? Because I feel like with groups that are that big, like, even you and your friend group, like, both parties have to make the effort to at least reach out and, like...
Yeah, you guys are a big group of girls. I feel like I don't see that often.
Yeah.
Like, for girls, it's like, harder, right? Like,
I mean, you guys have a pretty big girl friend group, too.
Yeah.
I would say.
Hey, Stacey.
Stacey is John's girlfriend, by the way.
She's our own supporter right now.
Would you like to say hi?
Hi.
Well, I don't know. For our friend group, too, I feel like a lot of what our common ground was like music. And I feel like that's kind of like what it was for your friend group too.
It really was.
Honestly, like Coachella like brought us together. It, like, so sad it didn't happen this year.
Yeah.
But honestly, I feel like when we had like a lot of big group events that were kind of, I don't want to say like Coachella was life changing.
Music.
You sound so like,
I know,
like Coachella. But like, just like a lot of like significant moments in life when you do it together, I feel like that kind of bonds you as a group of friends.
Yeah, it's like sharing a common interest and like bonding over that. That's what it was for us too.
Yeah.
And like, I mean, for me personally, like I love music, but I'm not like super into it. Like a lot of people are. Like instead of like working with music on, I'll work with like a TV show on or something like that. But I think like that issue, what Monty said on the aspect of like Coachella, or like even before that, like Vegas.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Vegas.
Or like clubbing and stuff like that. You know, like,
actually, alcohol brought us together.
Probably, but also like I think it's like just like
little life milestones.
Yeah. Like we, turning 25. Well, yeah. Like with our group, it's like you and I'm sure your group too. Like you're going through like
each transition,
different phases, and you saw each other through all those phases, right?
Yeah.
And like also like for me, I think it's just like. Just like being able to joke around with people, like having like humor is like a big thing. Like if you can't take my jokes, then like I'm gonna make fun of you. If you can't take it, then I'm probably not friends with you to this day. Mm-hmm. And if you can make fun of me, then like more power, like bring it on, like keep doing that shit.
Yeah.
Cause like I roast Monty a lot.
You know what's funny? Like before you came, she was telling me how you were gonna be, what was it? Like aggressive or?
I'm not aggressive.
You're not aggressive. Kind of scared. But like, you're like so funny that like.
No, but I knew you were funny. That's why I asked you if you want to be on it.
Thank you. Yeah, like Stacey will be like, that guy's hot. I'm like, is he funnier than me though? Like that's all I care about. He could be hot as hell, but he could be, you know, boring as fuck.
You always have that one upper hand.
She says my brother's funnier than me though. So,
really?
I don't know. There's problems. But yeah, I mean, as to like how you meet people after college and all that, especially during quarantine, I'm not going to be much open. Like I haven't met anyone new during quarantine, to be honest.
Yeah.
Cause I don't like, we were talking about like, I don't go out. Mm-hmm. And like, unless you're actively trying to meet people, like dating apps or something, cause you can't really congregate with people right now. Right? So it's tough, I would assume. Mm-hmm. And even after college, like the new people I've met, like I met Stacey after college. All that was through mutual friends, going back to that core group. So it's tough for the most part. Like everyone that I met post college was mutual a friend of a friend. That's
Isn't that how you met like Sharon and Annie too? It was like friends of friends.
Yeah, Annie was friend of friends. Sharon actually met because I was like kind of talking to one of her friends at the time. Yeah. And so that's how we all like started hanging out. Uh-huh. And then,
But I mean, like, you guys met at work.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And Kathy too, right?
Yeah.
And like for me, my work experience, like I worked at UCLA for a long time.
Oh.
And everyone I worked with was like at least 30 years older than me. So I even like when we had a holiday party, I would just go home early. Because like, I can't socialize with these people.
Take a to-go plate of food.
No, just straight up. Just like, hey. And then I would like...
Just leave.
Just sneak out, yeah. But what I do now, like it's a lot more younger people.
Uh-huh.
And at first, I was so unused to like socializing with them in a way that like they actually know what I'm about.
Yeah.
So it got better and it's just getting better as I get used to it. But like work is definitely like, if you can, you should... probably socialize because you see these people every day and like there could be some dope people in the cubicle right over and you don't even know.
Yeah, that's true. You should actually tell Esther about like your career change kind of.
Oh, you changed?
Yeah.
Kind of, right?
It's like drastic and not drastic at the same time. So I grew up, I mean, I didn't grow up. I went to school for econ and accounting on a track to go into finance.
Uh-huh.
That didn't work out. Like I went into it right after I graduated and I didn't like it. So I switched. I just needed a job. And so I started working at UCSD doing accounting work. And I did that for like a year and a half. And then I wanted to come back to LA. And so I just made the transfer to UCLA doing the same thing. But I hated it. Mm. Like anyone will tell you, like I was fucking miserable. And maybe a year and a half ago when I was like 27, I was like, I can't do this for the rest of my life. I just happened to like stumble into this job because I needed it. And I started thinking about what I wanted to do. And I always loved movies. I always loved TV and all that. And so I switched over to work in entertainment. I'm not an actor or anything like that, but I do accounting for TV shows. So that was like my way in. That was like my compromise was like, you know, I want to follow my dreams, but I can't go 100% from my dreams, right? And I think that ties into like the whole Korean thing we were talking about, but I can't 100% just like be broke, try to be an artist or whatever I want to do because I need to help my parents out and all that. So that was my compromise. And I love what I do now, actually. I'm like, I was really nervous about making the switch because I was getting, like, I was getting promoted constantly at UCLA. Mm-hmm. I was making all right money, but I was so miserable. Mm-hmm. And I essentially had to start from the bottom. Even though I had a lot of experience and a lot of knowledge, it's just different, like being in a new industry.
Yeah.
So I work in TV now, do accounting for TV, and it's really dope. It's really dope. And I just want to say, like, going back to the whole Korean thing, like, so there was a whole, like, hashtag, like, Oscar's so white thing, like, a couple years ago, right? And it's true. And now, like, more people of color are getting recognition. And I think that's awesome. But working in what I do, being in front of the camera is definitely one thing. But even behind the camera, even, like, every, there's, like, you see, like, in a movie, there's, like, 10 actors, like, you know, on average. But behind the scenes, there's, like, 100 people working on it. And even behind the camera, there's not a lot of Asian people.
That was the whole thing with Mulan, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that.
And I think, like, even, like, Crazy Rich Asians, like, you can say what you want about the movie, but, like, it's cool that they used, like, all Asian people, you know? Yeah. So, for all you, like, because I didn't know this world even existed. So, if you're listening to this and you're young, trying to figure out what you want to do, like, this is an option. And I think we need, like, you know, diversity everywhere we go.
Yeah.
And so this is a viable option. You don't even need a college degree to make good money doing the stuff behind the camera. So,
like, what specifically, like, the finance behind the camera stuff?
So, and, like, accounting, I mean,
like
PA, I don't.
Like, production assistant?
So, if you're a PA, I mean, that's, like, bottom of the bottom, but you don't have to have a college degree. And you can work your way up to do whatever you want. There's construction, there's lighting, sound.
Yeah.
Even catering people, like, they make good money.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. And that seems dope, too. You know, you just, like, cook up food.
Yeah.
There's a lot of opportunity out there that I think we didn't know about.
Yeah.
Because all we knew was, like, doctor, lawyer, you know?
Yeah. Exactly.
No, I remember you brought that up when we were talking about it last week. And, like, I feel like Asians, all we know is what our parents told us is, like, to be a doctor, lawyer. And, like, I feel like even for you and I, Esther, like, going into, like, media kind of is very not that traditional.
Yeah.
Because I can't explain to my dad what I do. So.
I don't. They don't know. They just think it's some marketing.
Yeah. I'm just like, oh, I write for a newspaper. And they're like, okay. Like, that's, like, all I can say because I'm like, marketing. Like,
yeah, exactly. It's hard to explain. Yeah.
So, like, you bring up a good point too, John. It's like there needs to be more representation too in, like, these other different fields, like, besides, like, what we're kind of stereotyped as.
Yeah. But I think that's just all baby stuff.
Yeah.
Because, like, our parents did what they had to do.
Yeah.
To give us the opportunity to, you know, to where we are. And then it's just, like, our kids are going to have, like, you know, they're going to know all this stuff and they're going to have a lot of opportunity. So it's only going to get better from here.
Yeah. I guess it's just different because, like, we are the first in our family. Most of us are.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so, there is that kind of, like, disconnect with our parents because they just don't, they don't know.
No, it's so true because, like, even with, like, I remember I would just talk to my mom about, like, how frustrated I would be with work. And she'd just be like, you're making good money. Like, why are you complaining? And I feel like that's such, like, a Korean parent response because in their head, as long as they're making good money and comfortable, like, that's all they need.
Stability.
Yeah. That's how they got through. If you think about it, like, they didn't care what work they were doing. As long as they could get food on the table, that was good enough for them. They didn't have to be happy at their job, like, with their work. That's, like, such a millennial mindset to have too.
It really is. Like, the whole, like, follow your dreams.
Mentality. I agree.
Because, my mom would even just say it's, like, it's a luxury to, like, want to be passionate
about something
you're doing. Yeah.
That's true.
But I guess, what do you guys think about that? Because, I don't know, every time, like, your mom will tell you things, I always, like, trust what she's saying, too. But I've always been kind of torn between, like, a comfortable, stable job versus, like, you know, going for what I truly want to do. But at the same time, I'm like, what is it that I truly want to do?
I think I was definitely fortunate enough that my mom was never too, like, on my ass about it. She, like, if I, like, even this podcast, at first I didn't tell her because I was afraid of like what she might say. She's like, why are you doing it? You know, like, is it taking time away from like your work or whatever? But I guess my brother told her. And so she called me and she was like asking about it. And she was like really happy for me. And she was like curious and like interested and wanting to know. And I think that in itself like opened my eyes. And I was like, oh, wow. Like they do care. Just if you are willing to be patient and to explain and help them understand, like they will come around. I think my thing was I always just assumed and I like went ahead of myself and thought like, she's not going to care. Mm-hmm. It's like, why bother explaining when I can't, you know? Yeah. But she got it. And then she was like, and I told her like, you know, I got my first sponsor or whatever. And she was like, she like joked around. She's like, oh, sorry, you're going to buy me a house now? And I was like, you know what I mean? Like, she's like, as long as I'm doing something that like makes me like happy, she's like, fine.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah, because I actually kind of explained like some of the Instagram stuff that I've been doing to my dad, and I didn't know how he would react, but he was actually like so impressed, and he was like, oh wow, like send me these photos.
Like of like the Adidas.
Yeah. And I was like, oh my god, you want these photos? He's like, wow, like you got paid for this? Like I guess that's true.
I think like at the end, like they just don't know.
Yeah.
Like even if like even my like older Caucasian white like coworkers, they didn't even know like this whole side of things. And like let alone if you don't know the language, like all that stuff. Like
Yeah,
so
it's a whole new world.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah.
Wait, have you struggled with that? Like, wait, what was your dream? You said you had like,
I never like had a like you know how sometimes they're just like that guy has something that's gonna make him famous. Mm. I never had that. It was just like I wanted to be like famous adjacent, you know? Like and for a while, like writing was really big for me, and like I wanted to pursue that. So even like my major in college, I wanted it to be writing. But I was like, you know what, like I can always write. I compromised. I switched to like econ, which is like super super stable and super you know Asian. It was just like, you know, you can always write, John, like you don't need a degree to write. And now like doing what I do, like I mean I took acting classes, I took writing classes, I took stand-up comedy in college, but like honestly, like I knew like there is like this whole millennial like follow your dream, don't quit. But I think we may have overcorrected a little bit where it's like not everyone can do it. Like that's the reality. Like not everyone can be fucking Brad Pitt or whoever, you know.
Like within reason.
Within reason, yeah. And so to me, like I am happy doing what I do now, just being on set and like seeing, you know, all that stuff behind the scenes is really cool. But when I did switch from UCLA to this, my dad was really worried because UCLA didn't pay the greatest, but it's super stable. Like, you can't get fired at a government job. Mm-hmm. You have great benefits. When you retire, you're set. So he was like, you know, are you sure you want to do this? And even now he gives me like, you know, he talks to me because it's, even though I'm doing accounting, it's still a by-project type of job, so every show I have to go out and find a new job. I mean, I'm doing good, I'm still alive, and he sees how much happier I am. Like you know, the people around me know how much happier I am, so
I agree. At the end of the day, if they see that you're just happy, they'll come around
for sure. And you're living.
If they see that you're doing fine, like they can't say anything. You know. Okay, wait. We keep going back to family stuff. No, but I like it. I love talking about this. Like, family is the one thing that, like, it always just, like, tugs at my heart. Like, it hits differently.
Yo, like, in startup, like, the Hanjipyeong and the drama, that shit made me cry.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why I like Itaewon class so much.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Wait, can I ask you what team you're on?
Dude, Hanjipyong.
Me too. Bro. Okay, good. We're friends.
Stacey's Dozan. Like,
Stacey, you're Dozan?
Like, I legit... Like, we watched the episode from last week. I was, like, getting pissed.
Me
like,
too.
Like, fuck this guy. Like, are you fucking serious? Like, why are you crying? Why are you crying? Like, are you...
Literally. Yeah. I'm like, dude, shut up. Yeah. Like, don't act like you're a knight in shiny armor. Yeah,
straight
like.
Up this past week's episode 11 and 12.
Yeah.
I went from not liking him to straight up hating him. Like, I fucking hate that dude.
No, every episode, I like him less and less.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah.
Dang.
He got
Yeah, I'm still on episode 4, but I told you.
Hey, if you're 200, that's all that matters.
Yeah, that's all that matters.
Yeah, hell yeah.
But I told Esther to spoil it for me.
Anyway. Yeah, I kind of told her what happened.
Yeah.
But dang. Wait, let me ask you guys this. What do you guys think about...
Thanks, the bathroom.
Oh, yeah. Break time! We're back from break 2.
sorry.
No, it's fine. I was going to ask, though, like, what your guys' thoughts are on guys and girls being friends.
You want to go first?
Sure.
Because you guys are friends. And I have like a really close guy friend too.
Oh, Harold?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Shout out to Harold.
I feel like guys and girls can be close friends, but to a certain point. Mm. Like some levels, or not levels, like boundaries have to be drawn.
Right. Where do you think those like lines are drawn though?
I feel like if either person gets into a relationship
mm-hmm.
or... if you are close with someone, and then I feel like almost always someone catches feelings.
Really?
Or has that never, ever happened
that's
to
never
you?
Happened to
no,
me.
That's
you
never happened
to me. You caught feelings?
No, I didn't. No, so, I've never caught feelings.
Yeah. I think like that. Okay. So the thing Monty said about like getting into a relationship, like there have been a couple situations with different people where my girlfriend, like, my gal pal. Yeah, my gal pal. got a boyfriend and he didn't like me because we were close.
Oh.
So, I mean, it is what it is. And I respect it and it happens. But for me, like, I think growing up, I was just, like, friendly with girls mm-hmm. in a non-sexual, not trying to get at her way.
Right.
Maybe it's because I have a younger sister. I don't know. Like. You have a brother, you know, mm-hmm. and you have a brother. Mm-hmm. Both of you guys have brothers, mm-hmm. so it may add something to it. Yeah, I was always like the guy, the friend zone guy friend, but like I was never like hurt by being friend zone. Mm-hmm. It was like, yeah, we're just friends. So yeah, I definitely do believe it. And I know people who strongly disagree with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think a lot of the times, people do catch feelings, but if you can get past that and become like really good friends, then like it's kind of like that's just like a bump in the road almost. Mm.
Yeah, that's true. But you know how sometimes like you're not physically attracted to someone initially, but you get to know their character and who they are.
Yeah,
and then they become attractive. And then I feel like that's when people catch feelings because they're confused because they're like, am I just like really appreciative of our friendship or do I actually like, am I starting to like you?
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Because I feel like that can sometimes be the case from like friends, from some of my friends. Like, you're not like initially attracted to them.
Mm.
But then over time, like just because you get so vulnerable with each other.
Right.
And they see a side of you that you don't normally share with other people that you start to catch feelings.
Mm-hmm.
I think like for me, my like the girls I've gotten like really close with, I didn't date them. But like even Stacey, like we started off friendly, mm-hmm. like we hung out as friends like a bunch of times, but we never like got like super close before I you know like asked her out. But I think like with my girlfriends, like I'm saying like so much. With my girlfriends, I get to know them very well,
mm-hmm.
and I love them as a friend. But as I get to know them, there are qualities in them that I know wouldn't mesh well with me personally. Mm-hmm. And so, like, attraction aside, it's just at the end of the day, I know we're not right for each other. And that kind of just, like, kills all, you know?
Yeah, I think that's, like, that's kind of what I meant to say is, like, mm-hmm. I feel like if I liked this person, I feel like you would have done something about it
that's
by
true.
Now. Like, I feel like you're friends with the opposite sex for a long time because like you guys just know that there's just nothing.
Yeah, there's like a
there's nothing that's gonna happen.
Yeah.
Otherwise it would have already happened.
Actually that's true. And then to your point, it's just like another bump in the road where you're kinda like, do I like them?
Yeah.
And then you're like, nah.
And
then
you kinda like, you get over it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Wait, do you guys think exes can be friends?
I do.
Really?
Oh, you said that so fast.
Yeah.
Because I'm like maybe they don't think this, but I'm chill with all of them pretty much. Like, if I saw them, I would say hi. I mean, like, friends to a certain level. Like, I don't think I could be, like, close with them.
Right.
But if I saw them, I would say, hey, like, catch up.
Yeah, you'd be, like, you'd be friendly, but not, like,
Yeah, like, that's true. I wouldn't be like homies with them.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I would definitely like, I wish them well. Hope they're all doing well wherever they are.
Right. That's very mature. Dude, but I'm you're not. Fuck. Yeah, but you're not like friends with them.
Yeah, I don't like keep up with them. That's true.
And you guys don't like hang out.
Yeah.
So okay. was that your question? That was friend. That was my question.
Yeah. Can it be possible?
Yeah. Like, can you guys be friends? Because I used to think.
What did you think?
I used to think it used to be
possible.
Possible. I would always try to maintain some sort of friendship with whoever I was dating.
Yeah.
But I think I'm learning more and more that that really just isn't possible. And I think it's in a way healthier to just like cut them out.
Yeah, for sure. And not only that, for me, it's kind of like, what's the point of keeping them in your
exactly.
life?
Exactly.
Yeah. There's like no point.
Yeah. Unless you guys were friends before, then I get it. But I do think there needs to be a healthy amount of time and space before you guys attempt to be friends again. But like, if you guys have no history of being friends and you guys just dated, like, there's really no point.
Because you only know them as a romantic partner, not a friend.
Yeah. No, but even then, even if you were, like, friends before and, like, some time has passed, I still feel like even with our age, like, as we're getting older, like, you know, soon we'll, like, we'll get married and stuff like that, hopefully. Like, me and I hope so.
Hey, if you're single, holla at these two.
But like, I feel like when you get married, it's like I don't know if this is like a, I don't know why I think this way, but maybe just the opposite sex doesn't tend to matter as much with like friendships, like especially if you're married.
I think like on that, I think marriage, when you get married in general, regardless of sex,
that's true.
A lot of your friends do drop off.
Yeah. Cause if they're not in the same life stage as
that's
you.
That's very true. Yeah.
And like when so, like, even right now, where we're at, we only have so much time, so much energy, right? Because we have work and all that.
Yeah.
So, who you devote that time to is pretty limited. And those are the people you're close with right now. And then when you get married, and if you have a kid, like, all that just, like, drastically decreases. So, that's the people who only, like, I don't want to say matter the most to you because that's kind of fucked up. But it's, like, the people who mean the most to you, right? Like, who
like worth meshed, carving
who you
out
mesh
time for.
The best with like those are the ones who you're gonna devote your time to
so
I think like regardless of sex and like it's happening now like with our friend group like it used to be a lot bigger and then it's just as we mature and get to more mature stages of our life like it's gonna cut down for sure
as you get older I always say to my friends and I always talk to how like you become more selective and that's another reason why it's so hard to make friends because like you already know yourself better and so you know like what kind of people you connect with.
But that being said to like your listeners who ask like how do you meet people like don't let just because you might not have a tight group of friends now doesn't mean it's not possible because like Michael is one of my best friends and I met him like I only got close to him post-college and like he's one of my best friends now so it's possible if you just like put yourself out there. If you mesh well with someone, like then
it's always a two-way street. If anything, like if you're vulnerable and like you open up first, chances are the other person will like open up too, and like that's usually where it like starts.
Well, that's true. I mean, because I met you and Kathy after college, and look at us now. Like,
I know.
We're still friends to this day. Like even after you leaving FabFitFun, and I met Stacey after college too.
Yeah.
Hi, Stacey.
She's like, wait,
that was so cute.
I know.
Yeah.
No, but that's true. I mean, that's like what happened when I moved to New York too. Like, with Michelle and stuff. Like, we weren't close at the beginning. It took us a long time.
But like, you both like intentionally made the effort to like hang out.
Yeah, we both made the effort, but also we both realized like, in order to take a friendship to a next level, you need to. Even if it's scary, like you have to just be vulnerable and like be open, and that's what we did. And like, it like completely changed our friendship.
That note, like being a friend is more than just having fun with a person.
Yeah, I agree.
Because you could have fun, like I have fun with like strangers, you know, like at Coachella.
He's
stuff,
like,
you meet people.
You're like the queen of.
I'm a queen,
but you like make friends with strangers
so
easily.
Like you can have fun with anybody, but it's like when you can call someone out on their shit and they can call you out. Like all that stuff is what makes a friend like a real friend. Like so that's why I would say there's friends and there's homies. Like there's people who
okay, what's the definition of a friend?
And a friend is like someone I'm happy to kick with. A homie is like someone I'll come to my problems, who'll call me out on my shit, who I can call out on their shit. And yeah, like, it's like if I'm visiting their city and they're living out of town,
yeah,
I'll hit them up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It's basically like another relationship.
Dude, it really is.
Yeah, you have to feel secure enough to be able to call someone out on their shit.
Yeah.
In your relationship.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you can't do that. Otherwise, you're going to tiptoe around their feelings and not tell them what they need to hear.
And that's why you can't be homies, because you're not, like, comfortable.
Exactly.
Like,
that's true. Actually, Stacey and I were talking about that today.
You really? Called her?
Oh, yeah, we were.
No, just like being, like, honest about, like, feelings with friends.
Yeah.
All that.
And that it's okay to say, like, what you need to say. Because at the end of the day, there are only a few people you can do that with, because you know that whatever you say, there's going to be no judgment. There's going to be no, like, shame. And, yeah, that's what, like, separates your friends.
There's a quote from, I think, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, where it's like, to be a good friend, you have to be willing to lose a good friend.
Mm. Whoa. Wow, that was really deep.
Uncle Phil.
Wait, to be a good friend, you have to be willing to lose a good friend.
Can you explain?
So, like, if I'm, like, trying to be a good friend to you, I have to be willing to do what I think
is best for you,
even if that means you hating me.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, damn.
That's so deep.
That's like some reading comprehension stuff.
SATs, what's good?
Oh, wow. That is so true.
Yeah, that's straight up Uncle Phil right there.
Yeah. Dang. I just learned something new today.
Because I feel like there are only a handful of people I can truly say that about. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
Do girls use the term homie?
I never use it like you, but...
What do you mean, like you?
Or, like, you know how you said, like, I have friends and then I have homies?
Yeah.
I feel like we just say, like,
gal pal.
I feel like we would just say, like, what, acquaintances?
Acquaintances, yeah, I say friends. Acquaintance and friend. Yeah. I don't even like the term best friend.
I hate that word.
Yeah.
It just puts. I just feel like it puts so much pressure.
Yeah.
On
the relationship.
Yeah, like, too. Why put a label on something when, you know, you just have, like, a good group of, like, solid people, like, that you can call out.
I mean, some people do have, like, that one best friend,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
It's usually multiple, like, a couple of them.
Yeah. Because I think each person always has something different to offer.
Exactly.
So I have, like, different friends for, like, different things. Yeah. And I'm sure, like, that goes the same for them, too.
That's why I say, like, I'm glad I have an older brother, because he's my best man. You two are fucked.
Oh, thank you so much.
Choosing friends.
Exactly. Just make your mom your best friend.
I'll make my dog my modern prince.
I was actually really curious about, like, because we're both single, right? Like, what do you think as a guy? Okay, well, how do I frame this question?
Stacey's not here. Imagine Stacey.
we wanted to ask John about just, like, a guy's perspective on dating.
Yeah,
right?
I guess in general, too. Yeah.
About dating in general?
And I guess from, like, your single friends, like, what you've seen and how...
So where I'm at and my friends are at, for the most part, it's... they're not trying to, like, fuck around anymore. Mm. They got it out of their system. They're trying to... Well, for me, I never, like, was fucking around, to be honest. I was always like, I'm gonna date this girl only if I really want her to be my girlfriend. Mm-hmm. If she's my girlfriend, we're dating to see, can I marry this girl? Like, starting from when I was, like, 18, I thought that way. But a lot of people don't think that way. And first, it was just like, you know, like, I like her, she's cute, so we're just gonna date. And it's just, we'll see what happens. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people my age are thinking more so like, that's out of the system. They want someone to, you know, like, lean on, one person that will always be there for them. And so they're looking for that more actively. But I mean, I can't generalize that. I'm sure there are other 28-year boys who want to fuck around still.
Yeah.
But I think dating is great, though. I think everyone should get it out of the system. Date however much you need to get to where you need to be to, you know, get serious with people. And dating, I think, is fun. Like, I was, To be honest, like, I'm not a very confident person, but I was never very cocky or never very nervous when it came to dating. Mm. It was just like, let's have fun. It was like
a fun thing for you.
Because even job interviews, it's like, you're interviewing me, yeah, but I'm interviewing you.
Yeah.
Like, you're trying to see if I'm good for you. I'm trying to see if you're good for me. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So it's just, let's have fun with it. See if it's going to work out. If it's not, nice to meet you. And then.
That's true.
That's a good mindset to have. Yeah. That's how I approach dating too. Mm.
Yeah, I feel like that's why, because whenever I talk to you about first dates, you're always so like chill about it. Mm-hmm. Whereas me, I'm like freaking out and like, oh my God, like what do I wear? But you're just kind of like, you just go into it very chill.
It's because like, first of all, I don't know this person. So I have zero expectations. Like we could end up together, but we could not. And it's like, if we don't, like, it's really no big deal. You're a stranger to me now. You'll be a stranger to me after. Yeah. So it's like, I think I purposely try not to overthink it because I know once I do, I'm going to spiral down I'm going to start being like, ooh, like try to analyze everything he says. Like, oh, was he interested? Was he not? And I think that's when it can get kind of, I don't know.
So when I was young, I was really shy, like so shy. I couldn't even order at McDonald's by myself. So my brother would always order for me. And there was something he said to me that stuck with me, like, you know, 20 plus years, you're never going to see this person again.
Yeah.
Mm. And that's like facts. Like you said, Esther, like, you know, you meet someone on Hinge or whatever, you want a date, like if it doesn't go, I was like, all right, like.
That's true.
Back to the blackness you go. Like,
exactly. Like you're an insignificant, like, sorry to say, but so you're an insignificant part of my life right now. So really, like, however this goes, it doesn't matter to me that much.
Right, yeah.
Like, obviously, if it goes well, like, obviously, I'm hoping for the best, you know, but it's like there's no disappointment if you go in with zero expectations.
That's true. Yeah. I need to think like that more.
Yeah. And, like, you're less prone to get hurt, too.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, it's very easy to, even, like, if you're just talking on the app and you guys never meet, it's really easy to, like, just fall for this person because of the image you drew of them in your head.
Yeah.
And
then
if, like, let's say they ghost you or it doesn't work out, you guys don't, it doesn't progress any further, you get sad. Mm-hmm. And, like, you start, like, doubting yourself and, like, your confidence can drop and, like.
There's people who are good in real life and good over text. And maybe they're just good over text. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's very true. Yeah.
People are, like, boring as fuck in person.
You know, speaking from experience.
But also, like, I'm sure it's different for you guys because, like, for my guy friends, it's always like, dude, just shoot your shot. Like, just go for it. Like, ask that girl at the bar. Like, just go up to her. But as girls, like, I mean, you guys can do that too, even though traditionally it's not what you're used to.
Yeah.
But.
Okay, well, tell us this. Do you think guys generally like it when girls shoot their shot?
Hell yeah.
Really?
Hell yeah.
So, like, if I slid into someone's DM.
Hell yeah.
Really?
Hell yeah. Like, even if, like, okay, I'm not saying you guys are this, but, like, if you're at the bar with your friends and you're having a good time and a girl comes up to you, she could be, like, the ugliest girl in the world and she hits on you, still like, damn, that girl hit on me. You know, like, it feels good. And if it's a cute girl doing it, it's like, fuck yeah. Like, you know, and it's even better. Like, I think that traditional way of thinking is like, oh, this girl, like, that's not there anymore. A lot of guys, like, as nervous as you guys might get, like, guys are nervous too. It's not easy to ask a girl out. So when a girl just comes up to you and says it, it's like, fuck, that's a strong, confident woman. And that's sexy, you know?
But I've heard the other side too, where the guy would say, like kind of to your point, like the girl's being thirsty. Or like the guy, I remember I've heard too, like they'd be like, a guy will reach out to you if he's interested. So don't even try to put yourself out there because a guy will make his move if he wants to.
But a guy might not even know you're there or you're down.
Oh, if you're down. That's another thing too.
Like if you approach a guy, he knows like, oh, she's open to, you know. Like sometimes like when I was single, I would be like wherever. I'm like, nah, that girl, like I'm not even going to try. You know? But like if she can, I'm like, whoa. Like, you know, there's. Because guys have insecurity issues too. You know, we have self-esteem issues. But if a girl comes up to you, it's like, all right, like, that's dope. And I think if a guy is like taken aback by it at any point where it's like, oh, like she's thirsty. Like, it might be like his own insecurity issue where he has to feel like I need to go up to her. Like, you know, it's like a power struggle. And if a guy has problems with it, maybe there's an underlying issue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever hit on a guy?
True. If you hit on a guy, I guarantee you 100%, like, whether he says yes or no, it's going to make him happy.
Have you ever thought about hitting on a guy?
I think when I'm drunk, I'm
I know, the confidence level, I'm going to ask him for his number.
Yeah. I'm very, like, obvious when I'm interested in someone, I think.
You're just, like, staring at him, like, without
blinking. No. I'll, like, go up to them and I'll, like, be like, oh, like, I'll get you a drink. Let's go to the bar. Okay. I'll be, like, very fun.
But
and, like,
even with that, like, because even from a guy's perspective, it's like, do it. Like, I put out all those things. Sometimes guys are not.
Guys don't know.
As really? Emotionally.
So you're saying you just have to be super straight up. Like, hey.
Dude, even if you went up to a guy, like. Because if you say, even now, like, if you ask a guy to buy him a drink, it's, like, very, like, friendly.
No, I say, like, let's go to the bar. I'll get a drink.
Yeah. But if you were like, hey, like, let's go out for dinner. Like, that's, like.
Oh,
very,
that's a lot more actually clear. That's true,
because like you would do that for a guy friend too when you're at the bar.
Yeah I mean, Monty never bought me a drink.
Okay, so you're saying like be straight up and just like
I'm just saying
out.
You can be and a guy will be happy about it,
really,
whether or not he's feeling you,
like, that's true.
But I think it's that fear of rejection that like stops people, you know.
Yeah.
And just kind of looking like pride. A fool. Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
But someone told me was you can fail 99 times, you just need to succeed once. True. And so like you never know. Like who the hell knows? That's
true. Yeah, because Stacey and I, we were talking about how like by the end of this year, like I wanna hit on a guy.
Oh, just hit on a guy?
Or like hey, we go up to him on the street.
You're hot.
Wait, so you think that if a girl slides into someone's DMs, the guy doesn't know you're interested?
The DMs are a little different.
Okay.
I've never dealt with the DMs. It's my experience.
Oh, okay.
But was it like a completely random guy that you're just like, you up?
It was like someone that I thought was cute, obviously. And so...
But you know, do you guys like know each other?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So like, we would follow each other and it's like, it's more... trying to keep it natural though. It's like either responding to a story or like whatever, and like trying to keep the conversation going after that. Is like, is that obvious?
It should be to that. That's obvious, to right? The average guy, it should be. But there are people who don't pick up on those things.
But let's say like what she said, a girl will like slide into a guy's DMs and just be like, hey, like, or like, just like, oh, ha, like, that's funny. Like, react to a story.
You say, ha, that's funny. That's not.
How far do you need to take it to make it obvious?
It depends. Honestly, like there are not, I'm not even gonna say guys, there's just people who pick up on these things, you know, they're more sensitive to these things.
Yeah.
But on average, guys are probably less sensitive, right?
Yeah.
Like that stereotype kind of holds true. Mm-hmm. But if you say like, haha, that's funny, that's just like, he's gonna double tap that for a like and then go on to the next one. But you're like, oh, like, where's that? You know, I don't know. You gotta like keep it going because unless he's feeling you back, I don't know. Fuck, that's hard.
It is
so
hard.
So glad I'm not single.
It is hard.
But I'm just saying, like, you don't have to wait for the guy anymore.
Yeah.
Would you hit on someone?
I would.
You would?
But I think, because I kind of have before with one of my ex-boyfriends. I like hit on him first, and then that's how we ended up together. But yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I guess it's like the fear of rejection.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So the fear of rejection, though, like, is that going to, like, do you want that to stop you from meeting someone who might not even be your husband, but can be, like, super dope?
That's true. Stacey, should I do it?
Do it. See, okay. How about you do it and I do it too?
By the end of the year?
Yeah.
Damn. Ooh, and then post it online.
Wait, like a recap of my story? Video about
do it like on Instagram. Right?
Wait, how are you gonna do it?
Okay, so like there's a lot of times like where I'll go to coffee shops or like I'll see people kind of not regularly, but like I notice them whenever I go somewhere, and so I'm always kind of like, oh, like he's really cute, like, but like I don't even know what I would say.
Okay, can I just interrupt? Mm-hmm. Well, you gotta. Guys have been dealing with this shit for like centuries now. Like, do you sympathize with us now?
No,
like,
I totally do.
It's fucking scary.
That's true.
Do you think it's harder for guys or girls in the dating like realm?
Girls. Like, it's harder for girls.
Girls.
Because at the end of the day, guys are less picky. And it's like more like.
Wait, I think guys are so much more picky. I think it's easier to win a girl over. If a guy is like truly interested, a guy can get any girl. I really believe that.
Well, to a certain point.
To a certain extent, I do think guys kind of hold that. Like,
that's true, because if they're able to woo a girl and kind of like show them that I am a man and I am here.
Wait, but going back to that, a girl can woo a guy.
But I feel like
you can win him over.
No, like but that. I feel like if a girl tries to woo a guy, like we talked about, it comes off as thirsty or too desperate.
They're not woke. That's why.
it's not the right 2020. Guy. Actually, no, you're right. Because, I mean, that's how I won over my ex-boyfriend. Because I pursued him.
I think it's harder for guys because on a guy's perspective, the like standards aren't as strict.
Like a guy's standards aren't as strict? Yeah. Like in terms of like physical looks?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's like the first, true. Like whether you like it or not, that's the first, you know, barrier that you have to overcome.
I could say the same about girls though.
Yeah?
I don't think, at least my girlfriends and I don't think we're very like picky when it comes to looks.
All right. Can I ask you one thing?
Yeah.
When it comes to you and your girlfriends, is one of the standards height? Because height, nobody has any control over. It's like whether you're blessed or not.
I mean, I will say, I think I used to be a lot more strict about that. But these days, no, not really.
How tall are you? Because you're kind of tall.
I'm 5'6".
Damn, you're tall.
So, like, ideally, obviously, I would hope that they're either same height or taller than me, right?
Oh, but you would date same height?
You can't wear heels for the rest. Unless he wears them too. Yeah. That's
you
good.
You can wear some Air Maxes. If you're like 1 or 2 inches.
See, but it's like give and take. Like, let's say I have this like really strong like emotional connection with this guy. I don't. At the end of the day, I don't think that would matter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
And like, I'll and still fall for
as
him.
As Asians, we shrink when we're like grandma.
We really do.
Did you see that meme with the? So just wait until you're like 60 or 70.
You're playing a long game.
Yeah. No, because like I we do think about the future. Like at the like 20, 30 years from now, no one's gonna care how this person looks, how you look. Like it doesn't matter.
That's true.
You want a partner that will be there for you and like who understands you.
That's what I love.
Thanks, Jamie.
Stacey just showed us the.
But like that initial like. To get your foot in the door, that's a barrier.
Though. Yeah, that I agree on.
Yeah,
because you're not gonna give someone a chance if you're not like
physically attractive.
Also, like, why I say it's harder for guys, it's like if you're a guy and you're ugly, you're ugly. Like, if you're a girl and you're ugly, like you got makeup, you got like extensions, you got BB cream.
No, I disagree.
But I honestly just think women are just way more beautiful than men.
I don't know, so.
No, like.
Let's be honest.
Women are beautiful creatures.
Yeah. Men can be beautiful too.
I mean,
but I feel like guys have that like edge where let's say they're very driven career-wise or like they're really good about presenting themselves a certain way. They carry like a level of confidence. True. That is such a boost.
Yeah.
That's true.
So it is for a woman too.
You think? Not as much as I don't think it gives us as much points as for guys.
Yeah.
I don't know. No, for me it does.
But I feel like guys can get away with not being like the most traditionally handsome. Like I feel like girls need to be like a certain way.
Nah, that's not true though.
No, but guys.
Like, okay, usually, like you know in Record of Youth.
The
main girl, like she's not traditionally pretty, but she got like hella
Medio.
Yeah,
who's the actress.
She's from Parasite.
Oh, that girl. Mm-hmm. Actually, the one that did the So, oh, that's true.
But like,
I think if you just like are, you just
like your character.
Like swag comes from confidence, right? Mm-hmm. And if you're confident, then someone would be like, they'll notice that, like,
It's like kind of like the way you carry yourself.
But like you said though, if you just like click with someone, you click and nothing else matters.
At the end of the day, the vibe matters. It's all about the vibes.
That's like your mantra.
I know.
Maybe you don't need a guy who's physically tall, but you need a guy who's big enough to make you feel secure.
Hashtag. That is very true, actually.
Hey, fellas, you could have BDE without having a big dick, all right? Just know that. Be confident, be secure, work on yourself, and You don't have to worry about that.
Like, I guess, like, how you were saying how you would want, like, guys like confident girls. Like, girls want just as equally want a confident guy.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a two-way street.
Actually, this is really interesting. Someone DM'd, a guy DM'd me the other day. Yeah. Who? Oh, no, not in that way. But he was saying, actually, let me just find it. Because it was like, he was like, I listened to your podcast and he was basically saying it'd be really interesting to hear about like what girls look for in guys because actually I don't want to butcher it. Let me just find it.
What if he was trying to hit on you?
Nah. It wasn't that vibe. Oh, he was like, he was basically saying one of the greatest words of advice that I received was that as guys, we get so caught up in looking for that dream girl, but we always forget to become that dream guy. So I'm curious to know what your dream guy looks like and like whatever, not just as long as he's taller than you. And yeah, that's basically what he was like asking. I was like, that's very true because that could go for girls too. We always dream about like that perfect guy, but we don't think about like becoming that like
dream which girl too. We talked about that the other day where we were like, we're both trying to work on ourselves to be like the ready. Best version of us
for sure.
So that when the right person does come along,
we're ready.
Yeah. And like, we can be the best version for them.
Yeah.
Cause that's what my therapist always tells me too. Cause I'll like joke around with her and I'll be like, I'm so lonely. Like I'm so bored. And she'll be like, don't worry about it. Like you're like working on yourself right now. And like when the time comes, like you're going to be like so ready to like be that person in a relationship, like a good like partner. So she was just like, it's okay to like take your time.
Yeah. And honestly, that's why I'm not so like stressed out about dating, and I'm not even like actively looking anymore, because I feel like in the past, like if I look at my like relationships, they ended because I just wasn't in like an emotionally and mentally like healthy state. And that's why like ultimately things go, that's when things start going wrong, because if I'm not secure in myself and I don't know who I am and whatever, it projects in different ways, and that's where like the fights come up and like things start getting a little toxic. And so I just realized like there are so many things that I need to really like look into myself first before I like let someone else in. And so it's like I'm not in a rush.
There's something that someone told me, like I just live on quotes that other people have told me, but it's if you're half a person looking for another half a person to be whole, it's not gonna happen. You're just gonna be two broken people together. So
that's so true.
Fucking get yourself right, be the fucking best you can be. And when you find someone, you don't compromise yourself to their standards.
Yeah.
Because there's going to be someone out there who is dope and finds you dope. And then that's just where the magic happens, you know?
That's so true. How you said, like, you shouldn't compromise yourself for someone else. I think I did that a lot where I would try to become this person's, like...
Like what you thought what they wanted?
What I thought they wanted. And I was like... So that's why in relationships, I would always lose myself. And so when things end, it's really hard because I feel so lost and confused.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So but I think that's a good point. Yeah,
that being said, though, what is your dream guy?
That face.
I don't know. I don't have a dream guy.
That is hard to say.
It is hard to say. I think it's just, I always say this, is there are certain types of people who bring out parts of me that like I like about myself, too. And it's just at the end of the day, it's someone who like does that, and I can do the same for them. And someone who's like who challenges me and like
All
right, how about what's like the one deal breaker then?
What's yours?
Or deal breaker or deal maker?
Oh, ooh. Whoa, deal maker.
Yeah, yeah.
Deal breaker
or maker, where it's like if he has it, it's like ooh.
Hamji Pyong, man, like his...
What, rich?
No. Like that ambition or like the... or like even like his character. I can't believe I'm talking about a Korean drama. But like his character of just like wanting to... I don't know if this is a Korean thing, but you know, he cares so much about the grandma.
Yeah.
Like so much about protecting her that like he overlooks like what he... Like his own desires.
Selflessness?
Yeah. Like empathy?
That's my thing.
Yeah. I don't think... Sorry. That's not empathy, what the Ham Ji Pyong is. But like... Yeah. Empathy or like selflessness or like being able to think beyond yourself. Yeah.
Yeah, empathy is very, is like up there for me too. And I want someone who's like silly.
Yeah,
like someone who will be like goofy with me.
Yeah,
there are like, yeah, because even with my friends, there are certain people who like just look at me and laugh at me, and then there are friends who like,
what do you mean they look at you?
Like, they're just like, dude, you're weird, like stop doing that, like, you know. But I don't, I mean, obviously I don't take it like offensively. And then there are friends who like join in on the fun.
Yeah,
like, I want to date someone who like joins in on like, yeah, whatever I do.
Yeah,
you know. Yeah, yeah, that's ideal.
Yeah,
nice.
So if you know anyone, John.
Yeah, yeah, I'm thinking.
No, Monica's first.
Okay, would have already happened by now if you knew someone.
Oh,
I don't know many
people.
That's
very true.
I don't know too many people.
Wait, should we wrap up though? Because I feel like we've been talking for a long time.
Yeah.
But yeah, this was fun. Thanks, was guys, fun. For agreeing to come on.
Thanks for having
us. Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me again.
Yeah, it was fun.
It was fun to bring on a guy's perspective. Yeah,
it's always interesting to hear from a guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, we have stuff to say.
Yeah. But yeah, if you guys want to see, find more of Monica, you can find her on Instagram, right?
Mm-hmm.
Your handle is
at Moni Chang, MoniChang.
Uh-huh. And then you can find John, you can find his podcast. I'll leave a link again, but what is it called?
Yeah, it's Podcast and Training. We're on Spotify and Apple.
Okay.
And my Instagram is at John Che.
Is it public?
No.
Oh. All right.
Even if it was, I like never post.
Yeah, yeah, so. Yeah.
Sorry.
It's okay. Find him on his podcast,
yeah,
and
yeah,
hopefully one day we could like, maybe I'll be a guest on yours.
Hell yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Definitely, but, definitely.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm going back to New York, so.
Next time.
Yeah, next time.
Sounds
next
good
time, for sure. And we will talk to you guys next week.
Yay, bye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.